The Pittsburgh Steelers suffered a tough loss, 26-17, to the Las Vegas Raiders. Lots of injuries came out of this game, and it may spell trouble for them moving forward as they try to bounce back next week against the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm Chris Carter. I'll break down everything about the loss, my evaluations, how I feel about certain players, and what the Steelers need to do next right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember, you can get this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. It really helps us out on the show. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a five-star review with a positive comment. That helps us out as well. Well, Steeler Nation, not nearly the kind of money that you were feeling last week. It was a tough loss for your boys, 26-17. And lots of concerns on the injury front and surprise concerns as well, because a lot of these injuries, well, all of these injuries were not ones that the Steelers expected to have going into this game. Now, I know one thing that a lot of people, you know, I saw this take, you know, out there saying, oh, well, the Raiders had injuries too. I was like, yes, but all of the Raiders' injuries were known several days leading into this game. We knew about Josh Jacobs. We knew about their guard situation. We knew. And when you have that advantage, you can plan around it. You can have those guys work with the first team all week long and get those reps in physically and mentally. But when you have in the middle of a game T.J. Watt going down, which you have Melvin Ingram and Alex Highsmith, and they're very good, but your whole thing is you're based off of those three being a tandem that you keep the legs fresh on. We saw that last week when Tyson Alulu goes down, along with Isaiah Buggs, and Carlos Davis was already out. The defensive line depth is really hurting there. The Steelers thought they would have Devin Bush and Joe Hayden. All those added up to serious problems down the stretch for the Steelers when the Raiders started to figure things out offensively. Because, again, this was a very tight game. It was 9-7 at halftime. I got to give the Raiders a lot of credit. They hung in there. They fought. They were playing really tough. Derek Carr was waiting very patiently to find the places that he had to go. Never made the big mistake that crushed the Raiders. And part of it was he kept them out in front, even with those early field goals. One drive that I thought doesn't get enough praise was the drive that he had with the Raiders right before the first half. Because if you go back and you look at the drives, the Steelers had just gotten a 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive, their fourth drive of the game, and you felt like maybe the offense had figured something out. Maybe something was clicking there. And that's what this offense has to be right now. They have to kind of click. You have to eventually figure things out with them because they're finding their mojo. This isn't like the Steelers defense where when they're all healthy, they're in the game. They know what they're doing. There's no finding your rhythm. It's you got your rhythm because you've been playing together and these guys are the talented side of the ball. With the offense, especially with that offensive line and four rookies starting with Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, Kendrick Green, and Dan Moore Jr., you need them to gel, and you need sometimes to build some rhythm. And what happened after that 75-yard touchdown drive? Well, the Raiders got the ball with 6 minutes and 23 seconds, and they held it for 13 plays, went 73 yards, only got a field goal out of it, but they took all the time off in the first half, and then they got the ball first in the first half. So the Steelers went from having the ball with 6 minutes and 25 seconds left in the second quarter and didn't get it back until there was 12 minutes left in the third quarter. That ruined a lot of momentum. They punted the next two drives. They did get a touchdown. But just part of this with the offense right now, and to me, that's the biggest concern of this game, is the offense still isn't in a groove. And when you have a game when that many defenders go down, I was saying during the game, I was tweeting at Carter Critiques, I was tweeting during the game saying the offense is going to have to step up to make this happen. A lot of people were like, well, yeah, they suck. And I'm like, it's not about them sucking. It's just the acknowledgement that defense is built on elite players. And when you take the elite players off it, I know everyone wants to say next man up, they're not going to be elite anymore. And they were still solid. They only allowed 2 touchdowns in this game at 26 points. You know, in the NFL, you think that that's pretty, that's around the par, you know, and that's what you kind of expect. And again, it was two touchdowns in the second, half, that did it for the Raiders. But all in all, you know, this was, and one of them was on kind of on a play where Witherspoon, their cornerback that they brought in, he's kind of new to the team. He got put in a situation. He got beat deep by Henry Ruggs. A lot of people I saw talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick and whether or not, you know, it was his fault. And I was kind of like, you know, I know Minkah will probably come out and say like, oh, it's you know, that was on me. But when you look at the play, he's helping bracket Darren Waller, and then he sees Derek Carr's eyes go upfield, and then he has to turn and run. That's a place where you need your veteran cornerback to not get beat deep, to kind of make sure, hey, if the pass is going to Ruggs, it's going underneath me, and we'll handle that then. But Minkah playing single high there, you saw what he was doing. The Steelers were trying to bracket Darren Waller, which all in all, I thought they actually didn't do a horrible job of doing. He caught 5 of 7 targets for 65 yards. Ruggs's bomb was the big one. But I mean, when you take that away, you know, the Steelers did kind of keep things in check defensively, despite missing Joe Hayden, despite missing Devin Bush, despite missing, we already knew they were missing Stephon Tuitt, but then missing Tyson Alualu, and then missing TJ Watt. That's a lot of guys to be missing on your starting group, to be going there. So that to me is the story of the game, is they couldn't survive their injuries. And the whole thing that I said, and I said this on the Final Word show on Channel 11, but the week before the season started, so that's 2 weeks ago now, I said that on my Final Word was this team is going to have to protect the offensive line. I know typically it's the offensive line that does the protecting, but when I say protect, this team is going to have to find ways to win while they are gelling. And that means, you know what? You can't count on them to be this group that's going to just plow out room for Najee Harris to go buck wild on people. Now, Najee Harris, I think he actually had a very good game. 10 carries for 38 yards isn't amazing, but he did catch a 25-yard touchdown pass and call all 5 of his targets for 43 yards. I thought he continued to look like he was feeling himself out and getting a sense of where he needs to be. But there were things that you did want to clean up, of course, on both sides of the ball. We're going to get to more of those topics right here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to tell you about our new sponsor, Get Upside. Hey, Steelers fans, this is Chris Carter with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Touchdown to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code Touchdown on the Get Upside app, which you can use anytime you fill up your tank. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter, your host here. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Do remember to download the show, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Continuing to break down this tough loss for the Steelers. Going player by player. Let's start with Ben Roethlisberger. 27 of 40, 295 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, finished with a passer rating of 87. I didn't feel like Ben was terrible in this game, but this was the problem with the injuries, and this is why injuries cannot happen this year the way that they have in the past, where they've been decimated. Like last year, losing Bud Dupree and Devin Bush and Joe Hayden and this guy and that guy. Like they just kept losing person after person, you know, down to fourth and fifth string guys at inside linebacker and edge rusher. You can't have that this year because that is your strength. Ben Roethlisberger is not the same Ben Roethlisberger of old. He's not going to will you to win by himself. He's going to need a team around him, and the team around him on offense just isn't the 2017 version of the Steelers where I think some Steelers fans forget how good that group was with the offensive line, the continuity it had, the best running back in football, the best receiver in football, you know, and talented guys all across the board. You know, the Steelers do have talented receivers. Deontay Johnson, 12 targets, caught 9 of them for 105 yards. Really solid game. Had a knee injury in the last play of the game. We will see about that, because that did not look good. He was clutching that on the sideline. Chase Claypool caught 3 of 9 targets for 70 yards. Najee Harris caught 5 of 5 for 43 yards and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster caught 6 of 7 targets for 41 yards and had a rushing touchdown on a shovel pass. Or not a shovel pass, you know what I mean. You saw the play. And then even Pat Freiermuth got in the act with catching all four of his targets for 36 yards. You know, all in all, this group is talented, but again, finding the rhythm is going to be the problem. And part of the rhythm is the offensive line. Looking at the offensive line, just through watching the game live at Heinz Field from the press box, and then looking back at what I could look back at before I recorded this show, I will say the biggest people that stood out to me were the rookies. I thought Dan Moore Jr. really struggled compared to last week, where I thought he was really strong. But again, this is why this is why one thing I've been saying all along. If you listen to the show, you know I say this a lot. Rookies, when it comes to the NFL, the biggest test isn't their first game. It's going to be how they handle getting a new game plan every single week and having to stick to the fundamentals that they built up in training camp and, you know, keep applying those every week and keep improving their game while also adjusting week to week to what other opponents are going to do. This was a tough Raiders front. I said that. Mike Tomlin said that. That's all the Steelers we talked to said that. They knew this was going to be a challenge. I don't think the offensive line was abysmal. They were just not good. But again, when I said before, the Steelers team has to buy this offensive line time to come together. My deadline for this offensive line to start figuring things out is week 8. And I know some people are going to be like, we can't wait that long. This team can win with poor offensive line play or subpar offensive line play if the defense is healthy. I mean, here's the thing with this. If this was a game where Devin Bush, Joe Hayden, T.J. Watt, and Tyson Lulu all played, and you could even take Tyson out of that play. It does look his season's over with a fractured ankle. But you could take Tyson Alualu out, but still that group of guys, I think they win this game. I think that, you know, with Joe Hayden, you wouldn't have had Alex Witherspoon, you know, giving up the levers that he did on the deep ball. You wouldn't have had, Alex Highsmith and Melvin Ingram kind of getting gassed as much. I mean, T.J. Watt, when he was in there, he had a sack and a forced fumble. He would have been able to do that more. He would have been able to be the best defender, the best edge rusher in football. And then you have Devin Bush, who would have really helped, you know, covering over the middle of the field where the Steelers started to get victimized, especially in the second half. I also think on the deep ball that went to Ruggs, and I brought this up, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick helping on Waller. I have to think if Devin Bush is out there, they may feel like they have the help out there. But with Joe Schobert being your only cover linebacker, that made things tougher, and Minkah had to help more underneath, and that's why he couldn't go help over top as much. Just one of those things where this team, when you're missing that many important pieces, you can't cover up the things that you designed your team to cover up. This team was designed the way it is, so that this offensive line, you knew they weren't going to be this good, but you banked on the rest of your team being healthy, and you banked on them being able to make the plays so that, you know what, hey, you don't need this offensive line to be stellar right now because that defense is keeping teams from getting to 20 points, and they're giving you a chance to win every week that way. This week, when those guys went down, you saw things change. Because, again, they held the Raiders to 9 points in the first half. It wasn't like the Raiders were going buck wild on them. Derek Carr just played a solid game, and this is, again, why he's a franchise quarterback. You know, I didn't think he was elite per se all the way through, but that's why you get a franchise quarterback who can not make the big mistakes, and when it's time to make the big throws, they do, and he made several of those in the third and fourth quarters that helped them win the game. You know, but as far as the offensive line, Kendrick Green, Dan Moore Jr., they struggled. I felt like Kevin Dotson was fine, but he's kind of just in a rough spot where, you know, a lot of offensive line success is built on each other. It's built on how you're able to use combination blocks, you know, chip off of the defensive tackle to get to a linebacker, or you know, communicate so that when they're throwing the stunt twists, that you get your man a little bit faster because you know your partner is going to get the other guy that's coming on the twist. Things like that just haven't clicked yet for the Steelers. And, you know, I thought that Trey Turner, when he was in before he was ejected, was fine. I think Chukwuma Okorafor wasn't as bad in the last game. Still not what you want, but I do think that this offensive line still has, you know, has time to grow, and I think they will get better. It's just going to be a matter of, can the Steelers be healthy enough to make it so that their subpar play doesn't impact games as much, because then if the defense is that hurt up, you need the offense to put up points, and the Steelers needed that in this game, and they never were able to do it. So it's less of a blame game and more of just a reality that, you know, when the star parts of your team that you built to be successful around aren't available, you're going to have to find other ways to win, and this team just didn't have that in those moments. I think when, you know, if their team is healthy, they can survive that, but not in this situation. Looking across, I thought the Raiders secondary performed better than I expected them to. They were able to run with Chase Claypool a little bit. You know, there were times though I felt like there were just if the ball just goes a couple different ways, the Steelers have a different result here. Ben Roethlisberger threw a deep ball to Claypool that I thought was on the money. He could have thrown it more to the inside, and Claypool would have been able to get an easier grab. But he still put it in Claypool's hands in the end zone. I believe it was Casey Hayward that made an impressive play to break it up. But still, that was a play that Claypool, you know, you want to be top dog, you want to be the number one receiver of the team, you got to be able to come down with that one. And Ben, to my count, I think he tried like 8 deep balls in this game and only connected on 2. One of them was an interception. Deontay Johnson had a really good 41-yard reception. That ball was on the money. Ben just has to kind of get back into the flow of when he wants to do those, how to hit more throws over the middle, because that was another thing that I did not see enough of is them targeting the middle of the field. These are the flow things of the offense that have to improve, not just the offensive line, but the understanding of when certain play calls are the right way. You know, Ben Roethlisberger being comfortable with the play calls, knowing the progressions at the right times and how to, you know, combat NFL defenses with those. So still a lot of concerns there. You know, but these are the things that they got to clean up over the next few weeks. They got the Bengals, who lost a tough one this week to the Bears. So they're 1-1 along with you. In fact, you know, I'm recording this during the Ravens Chiefs game. So we'll see, if the Ravens can pull off an upset there and make the whole division 1-1. But with the Browns winning and the Steelers losing and the Bengals losing, most of the division now, three quarters of the division is 1-1 going into week 3. So a few things there. I want to address some of the other things that went into this game. I'm sure some of you are like, well, Chris, what about the fourth down decision to punt? What about Trey Turner getting ejected? I wanted to go over just general reviews, points, and analysis there on certain players first in the first 2 segments. So now we'll get to those points in the 3rd segment of the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to tell you guys about DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and then you're watching the sports highlights on your phone, and then you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We're also brought to you by Built Bar. If you want a healthy treat that tastes like a candy bar, Built Bar is the protein bar for you. It's the official protein bar for the U.S. track and field team, and it comes in so many different flavors. Whether you want a fruity snack like raspberry, strawberry, or orange, or something different like salted caramel, cookies and cream, rocky road, or my personal favorite, double chocolate, Built Bar has so many flavors for you to enjoy. And the best part, they're all healthy. They range from 130 to 180 calories, 17 to 18 grams of protein, but they pack only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. That's a tasty and healthy snack that'll save you from eating the snack you'll regret later and stay on task with anyone's diet. Order today and get your favorite flavor delivered right to your door by going to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll get 50% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And y'all know on the Locked On Steelers podcast, if I do back-to-back live reads, we keep it rolling. So here comes the 3rd segment right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's address some of the, I wouldn't say intangibles, but some of like the narrative things about this game that came out of this. First, the 4th down call. So 9-ish minutes to go in this game, and the Steelers had a 4th and 1. Actually, let me get that. It was 8. It was 8:23 I believe, when the Steelers had this ball. But the Steelers, they went three and out. It was fourth and one on their own 34-yard line. They were down two scores. They needed to find a way to move the ball. And Mike Tomlin opted to punt. Now, here's the thing. I disagree with that call. I thought, hey, you got 1 yard. You got Najee Harris now. You got Ben Roethlisberger. Find a way to get that yard. You need to get back in this because your defense is struggling. And they just gave up. They had just given up the deep ball to Ruggs, so they're probably a little bit gassed. You're going three and out. But the defense did make it matter. They forced a punt in four plays. So credit to them for doing that. But still disagreed with the decision. But I also don't feel like it's nearly as big a deal as some people are making it out to be. I think that, you know, in this game, that wasn't what crushed the Steelers. One, the deep touchdown was a big crusher. But in the drives that came after that, you get a field goal from your offense, and then your defense gives up a field goal and a long drive. They needed their defense to be able to get that stop later. Now, granted, I would have gone for it. I just don't think it's this crushing thing that everyone keeps talking about. To me, the biggest deal of this game were the injuries, and how they dealt with them. And you know what? When you get injuries, you need other people to step up. And it's not necessarily the next man up mentality. It's the, you know, because next man up, they got to have that mentality. But it's more so the other guys who are your playmakers around the team that are still active. They know that they got to, hey, you know what? We got to make some more plays to back those guys up. And I think that's where the offense needed to come on a little bit sooner and find some of that rhythm. Again, I'm not saying that, hey, the Steelers offense is, I mean, it does stink right now, but I'm not saying like, oh, you know, this is atrocious that they couldn't do this. How, you know, this is a shame or a travesty. It's more like a, you know what? That just, it didn't work out this game, because the Raiders, I do think the Raiders are a good team. But all in all, still, you look at that situation and I feel like they should have gone for it, and who knows, maybe they get it, maybe they don't. But if they don't get it, they put their defense back out there, and then they're guarding a short field against an offense that did just put up a touchdown. So that's one of those either or situations. I hate it when people say, oh, this was the completely wrong call, as if, you know, there's a definite yes. And like, I know that the people are like, well, there's the probability machine that says, oh, you should always go for it in these situations. I don't believe in those. I prefer looking at context, players in the field, film, you know, knowing what other teams do, you know, those judgmental calls, I think those are of lesser consequence than people give them credit for, because they don't want to go into the minutia of the game tape, the minutia of what went wrong in different spots. They want to do something that's easy, as, you know what, hey, I can relate to this. I would have gone for that. Or even if they didn't go, wouldn't have gone for it, they can say that once it doesn't work out, because that's something you can easily relate to. And a lot of people can relate to. So that was my feeling on that. The Trey Turner situation. For one, I felt like this game was a little bit chippier because the Raiders were dealing out a bunch of late hits. The Steelers were kind of responding to that. And in this situation, you kind of saw, so Najee Harris scores his 25-yard touchdown. And then all of a sudden I see just a brouhaha, just mixing it up, you know, back at the line of scrimmage. And then I see flags go up, and then I see Trey Turner rejected. And I'm like, whoa, where'd this come from? And I see the replay, and you kind of see Trey Turner do like this, like he spit a loogie at a guy. And so I'm like, well, that's a big no. You know, you can't spit on nobody, especially in COVID. That's even worse. I mean, spitting, by the way, is despicable. You went out COVID. Like, it's disgusting. You do that, it will start a fight. But what Mike Tomlin brought up after the game is he said Trey Turner was the one who was spit on. And it was funny because when I was watching the replay, I'm like, I can't see the loogie. Like, I've seen players spit on TV, and I can see the spit fly from their mouth, you know, at a player. I didn't see it on the replay, and maybe I just didn't see a good look of it on the replay that I saw in the press box. But I mean, I thought about this, like, what if he, you know, when Mike Tomlin brought up he was spit on, what if that was him saying this guy spit on me and doing the motion? I don't know. Either way, Trey Turner needed to keep his head in that situation. But I thought Mike Tomlin did a good job addressing it afterwards and being like, look, my guy got spit on and nothing happened to the other guy. That's messed up. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, Trey Turner tweeting it out. He was like, I appreciate my, you know, Mike T saying that. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, leader of men type of stuff. It's like, hey, you know, my guy was in the wrong, but there was a reason that he went that way. And it was because this thing also happened to him. And so, because otherwise Trey Turner was just going to be seen as a vile, disgusting human being that did this thing without any provocation and a horrible person. And I felt like that was a good point of Mike Tomlin there. I see some people out there trying to say, oh, the Steelers' defensive game plan was garbage. I disagree with that entirely, especially when you thought that you were going to have Devin Bush and Joe Hayden available for this game. I don't care what you say, folks. when you have dynamic players on your team and you take them off, you're not going to be the same team. It doesn't work that way. You don't just take a guy off and say, oh yeah, you know, it's easy for us to say that in our boxes here, and literally in my box here, to say, oh, you know, the next guy's got to get it done. That's the whole part of the game plan. Well, there's a reason that you drafted Devin Bush 10th overall. There's a reason you went and signed Joe Haden when you did, so that they could be there in those situations to make those plays. And when they're not, there's going to be lesser play there. It's just how it works. And you got to tell your person, you got to tell your players, hey, next man up, to so that they focus and they don't use it as an excuse and they give their best effort. But the reality is Robert Spillane isn't Devin Bush. And he's just not. So lots of factors playing in there. But right now, the biggest concerns for the Steelers, you know, is Devin Bush's groin injury something that's going to keep him out longer? Same thing with Joe Haden. Same thing with TJ Watt. Those groin injuries, what's going on there? Can they get back next week for a big home game against the Bengals? They have to win that game. Otherwise, there's gonna be some serious questions getting asked, and they're gonna need to probably go on a really good tear. But a lot of things need to get cleaned up right now on the offensive side. The defensive side, I think they just need to get healthy. I saw people say, oh, well, they're getting targeted at different parts of the field, and they were the best stuff. And you know what? Derek Carr's a good quarterback. He's going to find the soft spots in your defense. Early on, they were bracketing Darren Waller. They were making life hard for him. But eventually, he was like, you know what? Let me go to Hunter Renfro over here. You know what? Let me go after this over here and find the weak spots in the defense. And when he started doing that, they're like, okay, now we got to switch things up a little bit more. And sometimes when you switch things up, things work out, like the Bills game. Sometimes when you switch things up, the other team still finds ways to make plays. So that's how I felt about the game. I don't think it was an atrocious loss. I think it was an unfortunate one. I think it was a tough loss, but not one that dooms the Steelers or, you know, says that the Bills loss meant nothing in the first place. Because here's the thing: imagine if they had lost the Bills game and then lost this game, then they're 0-2. Then the whole, well, is this the year that they finally fall apart? Then that's a real narrative. Right now, it's more so like, okay, they had a hard time dealing with injuries. Let's see how many of their guys come back next week. So lots of stuff to still break down about this game. We will continue doing show on the show this week. We'll get snap counts to you tomorrow with Tony Serino for a Tony Tuesday. We'll get his thoughts on the game, breaking more things down on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for listening and watching on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Odyssey. Remember, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment on Apple, and you get a shout at the end of the show. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe and the like buttons. We really appreciate y'all for supporting us. I know it's a tough Monday, Steelers fans. Keep your head up. Your team's still 1-1. They're still going to be battling next week, and we will keep you apprised on all injury updates on our Tuesday episode with Tony Serino. I'm Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @CarterCheeks. Be back in your ears and on your screens very soon.